I'm not trying to make a political statement with this, but just being honest, I really don't see anything wrong with the slogan, Make America Great Again. It seems to me that as Americans, we want our country to be great. We certainly would want it to prosper. We want it to be safe. We want it to be strong. Now, there are many ways politically that one can try to make America great, but none of those things can happen, actually, unless we have national strength that comes from character. And character comes from being from what we are, made in the image and likeness of God. And for us to have strength of character simply means that, to be people who are like God. If you noticed in the opening prayer, we actually asked the Lord to help us to do precisely that. The opening prayer says, God of might, giver of every good gift, put into our hearts a love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good. And that's what we're praying for, to have a deepened sense of reverence for God, that by his grace, the Lord can nurture in us what is good and keep safe what he has nurtured. This happens only if we have a love for God's name. Shortly after the founding of our country, there was a Frenchman by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville who made a tour of the infant United States, and he wrote in his journal that America will be great because America is good. But if America ever ceases to be good, then she will cease to be great. And keep that in mind. As a nation, we can only be great if we are good. If we are not good, we shall cease to be great. We all want a good country. We want a good world. We want a good church. But that does not happen unless the people in that country, in that world, in that church are good. We can give the appearance of good all we want and have other people think, oh, what a wonderful religious person. And religion is fine. But if there's no holiness to support that religion, then we call that hypocrisy. It's false. It's just a veneer. Jesus reminds us that it's not the things on the outside that matter. It's what comes from within a person that tell you about a person's character, whether they are clean or unclean, defiled or undefiled. Jesus says, from within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile. It's sad to say, those words can describe modern American society. People think evil thoughts all the time, whether sexual or malicious, thoughts of envy, craftiness, a desire to get ahead at other people's expense. There's certainly rampant unchastity, not keeping the sexual act where it belongs within the context of marriage. We see unchaste words everywhere, unchaste music, photographs, materials, programs, television, internet, whatever it might be, exploiting that which God made good, pure, and holy. People steal from each other all the time. Whether it's in corporate business offices or the bicycle off your porch, the property of other people is quite simply not respected. We seek to grab and to get rather than to give. Murder, the news is filled with it all the time. Even in our own small town, people killing one another, either physically or spiritually. Adultery, well, enough said about that. Again, not keeping the context of marriage holy and sacred. There's plenty enough greed, enough malice, lies, and deceit. And all this comes from that sense of licentiousness. I can do whatever I want. It's a free country. I can live for me and I can get, and that's where the problem is. Everybody wants to get, but nobody wants to give. It's all about the self and not about God or others. If we don't get what we want, then we turn into envy. And there's blasphemy, blaspheming God, blaspheming the church, blaspheming the clergy. It goes on and on. Why? Out of people's arrogance. And if there's any sin that makes us like the devil, it's quite that. Arrogance and pride, that sinfulness being puffed up thinking that we're better than God himself. And that is our folly. All these evils, Jesus says, come from within and they defile. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, In 6 and 9, he talks about adultery and lust. And why are those things kind of important for us to look at? Adultery and lust come from that very mentality that I just spoke of, where it becomes all about me. Lust is opposite to love, in that lust wants to take, whereas love wants to give. With adultery, we have no problem in being unfaithful to God or to anybody else. So Moses told the Israelites, after receiving these commands from God, I'm teaching you to observe these things, that you may have life. You can enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In other words, if we obey these commands, we will enjoy every good gift which comes from the Father's hand. You shall not add to this, you shall not subtract from them. Observe them carefully, for thus you will give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations. Now, yes, there are some people who will say that if we follow God's commands, if we try to be a holy and righteous people, that we're not wise and that we have no intelligence in us at all. But then again, what does the other side have to offer? Death and destruction? This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. What great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? And there is the truth. We have a God of love, a God who is so close to us. But the question is, are we close to Him? Are we close to Him? Those sins of adultery and lust objectify a person, objectify the earth, objectify even God Himself. Objects for our personal gratification. I'll pray to God only if I need something, when it's convenient. I will use other people in as much as they are useful to me. All this on a fleshly and animalistic level. But let's look at the sixth beatitude of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus tells us, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. The pure of heart doesn't seek their own selves, their own personal satisfaction, their own passions and desires. The pure of heart refers to those who keep their minds and their hearts focused on God, their intellects and their wills thinking only about God, desiring nothing else but God, and speaking only of God. They focus their minds and their hearts, their intellects and wills to the demands of God's holiness. Remember, a person can be religious but not be holy. But a person who is truly holy will by nature be religious. It's the expression of the devotion and love for God that is rooted in their hearts. Psalm 15 speaks about that, where the question is asked, it's not in the psalm, sadly, but it should be, Lord, who is going to be admitted to your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy mountain? In a word, who gets to go to heaven? And here's God's answer. The one who walks without blame, that is, the one who is sinless, who turns away from sin to follow good and does what is right and just and true. The one who thinks the truth in his heart and his mind, and the one who does not slander others with his tongue. The one who does no harm to his fellow man, do no harm, rather do good.